Praise the Lord. Would you go with me to the scriptures? I just want to share something. I know it's hot, and I know that makes us feel tired, and I ain't going to go droning on for a long, long time. So I'm going to be short, but I've already said to the Holy Spirit, you can take all the time you want with these. So if the Holy Spirit wants to spend the next 3 hours with you, that's his business. Don't blame me. I want to go to Genesis, that first book. And you know, it's a great joy when you can share the word that God has put in your heart. And I say that with forethought. Because when Pastor John asked me, would I preach? Then for weeks now, I've been thinking, praying, sharing my heart with God, and I hope his heart with me. But it's a joy when you can come, and when I get off my chest what he's put in my heart, I'm going to have a great afternoon. I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to have some ice cream and put my feet up. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding where I'm coming from? In other words, you carry something, don't you? You carry something. And then you, if I can use the word respectfully, you offload it. Praise the Lord. So I pray that God will give, if it's for one person here this morning, then I'm going to go home happy. Because you know God is very concerned about one sheep. Very concerned about one person. Loves you so much. He put everybody else on pause so he can speak to you. Glory to God. So may the word of the Lord come to somebody this morning. It's the last chapter of Genesis. It's chapter 50. And Joseph, after a long time, was reconnected with his brothers. There'd been a division. There'd been a breakdown of family relationship. You might be in that position this morning, but they certainly had for Joseph. But now God was bringing things together. And sometimes when God starts bringing things together, we can't see what God's doing, so we carry on blaming or refusing to forgive and refusing to have anything to do with those people that we feel cut off from now. But let's keep in tune with the Holy Spirit. He's for reconciliation. Do you know that? He's for reconciling broken relationships. And here is a broken relationship being brought together by God. So you know, I'm known from a little kid in Sunday school about Joseph. You know, the big wide world out there knows about Joseph and his coat of many colours. In fact, they made a whole lot of money down in the West End of London about Joseph and his coat of many colours. They made a fortune. But here it is in the Word of God. And just the few verses that are relevant is from verse 19 of chapter 50. But Joseph said to them, his brothers, don't be afraid. I can't put myself in the place of God. You plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good in order to preserve the lives of many people who are alive today because of what happened. You have nothing to fear. I will take care of you and your children. So he reassured them with words of kindness that touched their hearts. Amen. Amen. My theme, my title is God Will Turn It Around. Can you stand with me today and with whatever circumstances you are finding in your life, can you declare, even if it's got to be by faith, Can you declare what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for my good. Hallelujah, Lord. Whether that's circumstantial, whether that's physical, whether that's spiritual, whatever the enemy brings against you, God will turn it around. Amen. I've got three little points. And the first point, obviously, is the story of Joseph and his brothers. You know it well. This is the time after many years. You see, sometimes when things happen in our lives, we want God to do the immediate. We want to pray and we want to see the next day the answer to our prayer, or God, you ain't playing fair. You know, sometimes when God lets us, allows us to go through certain things, God, before he answers you, has got bigger things he's planning to do. Can I answer that again? What God is planning for you, he's got bigger things to do. We can only see the small picture. We can only see me and my problem. We can only see what has happened to me. And if you only knew what had happened to me, you wouldn't be praising God so much. You wouldn't be shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord, if you'd have been through what I've been through. You don't know the deep waters. You don't know the things that come to my heart. You don't know the things that have invaded my life. If you only knew, you would not be praising the Lord like these lot are doing. My brother and sister, I've learned a lot of years ago that whatever comes to pass, and we've been through some pretty strong stuff, I'll tell you. I found the secret of praising God in the darkest night, in the inner prison of my circumstances. Whatever befalls, I found that God is faithful. And whatever I feel like, I go beyond my feelings into the realms of I will praise the Lord. Amen. Have you got there yet? Have you gone through the feelings? Feelings are all over the place, aren't they? You get up one day and you feel wonderful. You get up another day, you don't know what happened in the night, but you feel terrible. You're like the heavens have crashed in on you. But friends, like the Apostle Paul, in whatever state I find myself, I will declare, I will praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy towards me. Hallelujah. Here's Joseph. Lots of years have gone by. You know, the time of taking him, putting him in a prison, having a debate whether to kill him. This is big stuff. The brothers are debating to kill him. And they're having a real confab about this. The result is they've decided that they will sell him. They will sell him as a slave. You know the story. I'm going through quickly. This is dark days for Joseph. What has he done? Why does he deserve this? What's it all about? If God is good and God has my welfare on his heart, why is he allowing this? What the enemy meant for evil, you have, for Joseph, it's you will, turn it for my good. Hallelujah. Do you know what the enemy is doing with you right now? He's poking you. He's wanting to sift you. He's wanting to destroy you. And Jesus says he wants to kill you. Whoa, this is big stuff, brother. Yes, big stuff. The enemy hates your every moment upon this earth. Do you know that? You represent something he detests. He looks at you and he knows that with God there is great forgiveness. For him, there will never be forgiveness. He hates what the blood of Jesus has done in your life. I'm cleansed from all my sin. Glory to God. Now, if you've known me long enough, you'll know some of my sins. And you will probably never forget what he got up to. And when the enemy comes, he remembers a lot of my sins. But you know, when God comes, he's forgotten all my sins and buried my past in the sea of his forgetfulness. Glory be to God. You can point the finger, and while you're pointing at me, there's at least three pointing back at you. I am redeemed. I am washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins have been forgiven for his great name's sake. Hallelujah. I am a child of God. Glory to God. That's something more than a song up there, you know. It's a living lifetime experience of knowing that my sins, my transgressions have gone. Hallelujah. Never to be remembered against me anymore. Glory to God. Now, if you thought it was getting pretty tough for Joseph, if you thought that his life was being treated unfairly by his family, then you want to take a look at what's going to happen next. It sometimes seems that, friends, when we've been going along happy, clappy, and I'm not being sarcastic, I love the wonderful, whoa, let's get going. But you know, there's sometimes, and we don't know what happened. Sometimes when them wonderful days of happiness and joy unspeakable and the glory of walking with God turns into some violent storm. And we wonder what in the world's gone on? What's happened? And for Joseph, if this weren't dark enough and deep enough, he suddenly finds himself being accused of committing adultery with Potiphar's wife. The guy was nowhere near. He was nowhere near the situation. And yet the devil was hunting his soul. Satan was determined to wipe him out, to finish his testimony. And I want to say without exaggeration, friends, Satan would love to sift you. He would love to destroy your witness, to bring something into your life that will spoil your testimony forever. And here's Satan still hunting, still sifting, still wanting to bring this young man down. And so he finds himself in the prison. Can you imagine serving God, totally innocent, a love for God, and we come visiting you in Hull prison? Yeah? What are you doing there? And you know, for some reason, some Christians might say, well, there's no smoke without fire. He must have been up to summit. Joseph was up to nothing. And yet the enemy comes against him to finish him, to smash his testimony, to break him into a million pieces. But I'm going to say today, thank God somebody is praying for us. Somebody is praying for us. If the pastor is praying for you after out of all this congregation, but the pastor feels you on his heart and he's praying for you, he's praying. Thank God for the prayers of the pastors. But I know somebody beyond the pastors who is praying for each and every one of us that our faith does not fail. For Joseph, it was a dark, bewildering time. He must have wondered what the future held for him. He was in a strange land. He was now in prison. There was nobody looking after his welfare. But God starts stepping into the picture. And God starts stepping in ways that we don't always look for. We're sometimes looking for God to move over here, and God's already started over there. And that's why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to communicate with God more now. Have you seen what's been happening overnight? Yeah, of course you have. The Americans have stepped in, chucked a few bombs around. My friend, all your dreams could end tomorrow. Everything that you plan for your holidays next year might never take place. Everything that we've depended on might be wasted in moments of time. I want to say, if ever the church is called to pray, it's called to pray now. God wants to look down onto a community of people, and he wants to say, they are my emergency services. And when I know that I need to call on my church, they will be found of me. They are diligent in seeking my will. They know how to pray. They know how to change things in prayer. And my friend, I'm not on the prayer team just because I come on a Sunday and have a little time of prayer with you if you come out. I'm on the prayer team because it's my life. I'm on the prayer team because it's in my bones to wait upon the Lord and to seek his face. And I want to say, you don't wait while you're in the prison like Joseph found himself. You need to start being in touch with God right now. We need to know God right now. We need to know what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. We don't need to be as a church over here and the Holy Spirit is working over there. We need to be where the Spirit is flowing. We might not know what tomorrow holds, but we know the one who holds tomorrow. Amen. Glory to God. Do you? Do you know in all this uncertainty? You know, a few months ago, they were all talking about peace and prosperity. Now it's all about bombs. It's all about money going into certain places of the earth to fund the bombing and the killing of nations. And my brother and sister, if ever in your heart you need to be urgent with God, it's now. If ever you need to be engaged with God so that you know him personally, it's now. There might be a mountain in front of you, brother. Sister, there might be the Red Sea and you've come up to it and you don't know how to get across. That circumstance in your life, that deep waters that you don't even know how to get through, you need to be able to stand on the banks of the Red Sea in your life experience, and you need to be able to say, God, I don't know what to do, but I know the one who does. I know that you will get me through this storm. I know, God, you will bring me through this fiery furnace experience. I know, God, when the world is talking war, I know where to look. Because you told us, when you see these things come to pass, look up. Which way are you looking? Are you looking up? If you're looking that way, you're looking in the wrong direction. If you're looking that way, you'll get confused. Are you looking up and seeing the purposes of God in this day and generation? God knows. Does anybody know that God knows the end from the beginning? Do you know that God calls himself the Alpha and the Omega? I'm the one who starts things, says God, and I'll finish it. Who will have the final word in world affairs? It'll be him. And do you know he's not going to abandon his church? He's not going to abandon your family? He's not going to abandon you, though the storms are all around you? I want to say, friend, when the storms are all around you, do not fear, said Jesus. He comes walking on the storm and he says to the disciples, "Fear not." Glory to his name. I'm going to jump to my second, plenty more to say about that, but my second point is this. Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. What was happening for Peter? This is the disciple that was into everything while the others were thinking about it. While the rest of the disciples were pondering and trying to work it all out and see whether that bit fits this bit before they get involved. Peter was the fearless one. And yet Jesus looks at Peter and he says to Peter, "Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat." Did you hear that? Do you think that the arch enemy of God sees your desire for God and just thinks, "Oh, that's nice"? He plans to finish you. He plans to wipe out your testimony. The days for Peter were dark. The betrayal was in the very atmosphere that they breathed. Spiritually, there was a great battle being engaged. And Peter looked straight into the face of Jesus, and Jesus looked straight into his eyes, and Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has desired to have you." That's a bit shocking, isn't it? Satan has desired to have you. What for? That he may sift you as wheat. We see for Peter that the happy, clappy days are gone. That this thick darkness is coming upon him. And that suddenly from seeing the miracles and walking with Jesus, the greatest teacher that's ever been heard, instead of it being wonderful days, can't wait for the next day to dawn so we can see who Jesus is going to heal today, raise from the dead today. Can't wait to walk and talk with Jesus. Suddenly, there's darkness and depressive forces that are coming against him and the rest of the disciples. Jesus said, "All of you, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat." You know one thing about the Bible? It has never promised that when you become a Christian, your skies will always be blue. He never promised that the sun would always shine into your family. The Bible nowhere promises that there will be like flower-strewn pathways. Have you seen the little bride girls when they're coming down to the front of the wedding ceremony, and some of them are going around throwing the petals about, aren't they? And the rest of them are walking on those petals. Jesus never promised you that. He never promised that you would always have times of wonderful provision. But he has promised to always be with you. Isn't that worth an amen? He has promised that when you go through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the fires, it will not quench. Lighten. Quench. It will not come upon you to destroy, for I am with you. How did he prove that? You remember the Daniel situation? You remember the lads, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? You remember them in the fiery furnace? Let's just heat it up a bit more. Let's get it 7 times hotter than ever before. Let's make their lives hell on earth. And Christian, you might feel that right now, your Christian life feels like hell on earth. Suddenly, some gigantic storm has crashed into your family. And it feels like all hell is raging against you. Isaiah says in verse 43, chapter 43, when you pass through the waters, not if you pass, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. You know that psalm, that verse, don't you? Put on the whole armor of God. Here's the suggestion. Why? Why do we need to put on the whole armor of God if all our expectancy is a life of sunshine and roses? If our Christian life is going to be, hey, thank you, Lord. I'm going to be happy till I get to heaven. My friend, you put on the whole armor of God because Satan will resist you. He will send the fiery darts against your life. He will seek to break in to your everyday living to destroy everything that you've got today. But the Apostle Paul wrote, resist him. Glory to God. Christian, do we put up the surrender flag? Do we just, oh, the devil's been on my shoulders all week. Has he? Get him off. You say, what? Get him off. Christian, you are not a victim. You're a victor. Amen. Jesus said, you are a victorious people. You are a people that can stand before the enemy and rebuke him in my name. That's what Jesus said. Is his word worth trusting? When the dark clouds of sin come against your life and against your home and against your family, walk around the rooms. Christian, walk around your house and say, devil, get out of my room. Devil, get off my bedroom. Get out of my life. You're not allowed in this place. The blood is over the doorposts. Glory to God. I mean, are these all stories we just tell the kids? Or are they there for you to walk in, for you to practice, for you to see what God is capable of doing? Peter, why are you denying him? Peter, what's happened to you? What the enemy meant for evil, you will turn for my good. Turn for my good. Peter, you're going to be in a million bits. You've gone too far this time. You've denied the Lord of glory. You've blown your testimony. Nobody's going to listen to you anymore, mate. You are finished. What the enemy meant for evil, you will turn for my good. Turn for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, hallelujah. There's some sisters here that know it. They don't just know the song, they know it. They know that God, in your darkest hour, when you don't know what to do, you can hardly breathe. You're supposed to be leading your family and you don't know what to say. They're waiting for you to bring a revelation. You got note. We send you away for a sabbatical. Come back, brother. All refreshed. And you're coming back and you think, I've got note. My friend, in the darkest night, he can bring you through. He can bring you out. He can take those broken pieces that the enemy sent to finish you. And he can put, Peter, what you're doing? I'm preaching the gospel. What? You've been denying him. It's the day of Pentecost. What are you doing? Stood up, because we know what you said. We can remember how you cursed and denied the Lord of glory. Peter would bow his head and he would say, but the Lord has delivered me. The Lord has lifted me up from a horrible pit. And he has set my feet upon the solid rock. Hallelujah. Peter is preaching his heart out, and 3,000 souls give their life to Jesus on that one day. God of second chances. Do you believe that? You say, I'm finished, brother. If you know what I said, if you know what I did, if you know how I handled that situation, you'd say I've been no good in the kingdom. I want to say, God of second chances, come and heal my brother, my sister. Come and raise them again with a more glorious testimony than they've ever, ever, ever had before. Come and use them in your kingdom. Come and show your glory through their lives. What the enemy meant for evil, he will turn for our good. Finally, the universe's greatest turnaround. Did you get that? The universe's greatest turnaround. You know where I'm coming from, don't you? Do you? What's the greatest turnaround in all of the history of the universe? It's this. When Jesus cried, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. Satan detested Jesus. Satan and all the allied forces of hell detested the work that Jesus had come to do. You know, Jesus had said, I've come to set the captives free. Satan said, I'm going to bind them. Pam and I got out the car this morning, and just there, a young lady laid fast asleep at the side of the road. Fast asleep this morning, laid there. When I see that, I see the works of the adversary. When I see the bottles, the needles, the paraphernalia of hell, when I see what Satan is doing with this generation, how he's blinding their hearts with darkness, how the substitutes to find a way out in life, to find a way through the confusion and the warlike sounds that are coming across the earth at this time. I look and I see what hell has done with a generation. For what earthly reason would the Heavenly Father send down his Son to suffer rejection and pay for the crimes he's not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let him hang on the tree? I wept with the answer. That one earthly reason was me. Was you. Heaven had seen what hell had done. Saw the generations arising, bound and fastened. We've rejoiced over the last 40, 50 years of the academic scene, people are getting more educated now. Surely the world will get better. We've seen the inventions of this and that. We've seen the breakthroughs on the medical side of progress. We've seen everything that mankind is capable of doing by sending rockets to the moon and walking on the surface. We've seen everything prepared by man for man. And many things are great and we applaud it. But I want to say, friend, the answer for broken humanity, the answer for Satan. Well, I used to go in the prison, let me tell you this. I used to go in the prison many 20 years ago and I talked to them about hell. They laughed at me. They laughed. I talked about the devil and they poo-pooed me. In other words, that idiot that comes in on a Friday, he talks about something that kind of like, way, what thou been on? Friend, 10 years ago, I went in the prison. And now they know there's a hell. Now they know that Satan has weapons that they can't break, that they can't fight, habits that grip hold of their lives that they can't break free from. What has happened? The enemy has come against them and defeated them and broken their lives. But I'm going to declare here this morning, what the enemy meant for evil, you will turn it for good. Do you believe this world is going to see the church go out defeated? Oh, putting the surrender flag up and saying, well, we're all finished now. It weren't worth it, were it really? We are going out victorious, church. We're leaving this world with the victory of Christ in our hearts. We're going to see what God is capable of doing, because what the enemy has come to do, Satan defeated on the cross of Jesus Christ. It is finished. It's over, friends. If you can believe it, if you can receive it, if you can let the Holy Spirit work it out through your lives, you will enter a time of victory. You will enter a time when you thank God that even though everything stands against you, your family, your business, your health, your situation, you will be able to say what the enemy meant for evil, you have turned it around for my good. My brother and sister, in my closing moment, let me say this. Can you trust that God will turn it around? You look out there, look at your news tonight. Well, I'm fed up with that, brother. I don't look at that stuff anymore. Well, I do. I look at it so I know what's going on out there. I look at it so I'm more intelligent in my praying. I look at it because I want to know what men are thinking they're going to achieve. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I'm looking for the greatest victory the church has ever known. I'm looking for the greatest hours the church has ever experienced. Why, friend? Why did Jesus say you must be born again? Why did he say it? So he can speak the turnaround in your life. Without being born again inside, in the prison, you know, when we used to go in, the guys would say, oh, born again, lot of you. I was proud to carry that title. The born again, lot of you. And it weren't just a mocking, do you know what they said? When your lot come in, something changes. The atmosphere changes. You know why? Satan has to get out when you get in. Satan has to get out when you get in. When you stand in the greatest battle in your home and you say, God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know you. The blood is over my home. Everything I own and possess, including my children, I give to you. God, let victory arise in our hearts. And in the middle of the inner prison, you can know the songs of victory. Hallelujah. Am I speaking a load of rubbish? Job said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Glory to God. You see, it's not all about, God, if I get my own way, then I'll believe in you. If I don't get my own way, I still believe in you. I still trust you. I still believe you will not abandon my family. I still believe that my prodigal is coming home. I still believe that you will provide for me in the hours of our great need. I believe that you will turn around what the enemy meant for evil. Come on, church, it's about time we started speaking out and declaring where we stand and what we believe. Can we stand in God's presence? Maybe you're in the midst of your crisis. The storms are raging all around you. It was horrible yesterday. You don't know how you're going to get through next week. I wonder if today you could declare the name of the Lord. Where you're standing, you could say, Lord, I believe what the enemy sent to destroy me, you will turn it around for my victory. You will turn it around for my good and my family. They will see the great goodness of our God. And I want to say, if you're in the middle of that, then I invite you, while we're singing, while Chyler and the team are leading us, you come and stand here. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to believe with you. And ask for the elders to come and stand there. And we as a church are going to believe that God will turn it around. I can't promise tomorrow morning it will all be gone. But what I can say is he'll bring you through. He will bring you through. Somebody say it. He will bring me through. Glory. You just come and let the church stand with you and hold up your hands. You say, brother, I've been saved 20 years. What's that got to do with it? There was times when Moses needed his hands lifting up. So you just walk to the front. No commotion. No. Just come to the front and we'll just pray, Lord, stand with this family. Stand with this situation. We are going to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to stand with you. We're going to be united together that the Lord is going to bless your family. Amen. Thanks, Chyla. Just leave your seats. Don't be embarrassed about people. When you're in the deep waters, you don't bother who's hearing you on the bank. You just shout, help. Let your faith loose and stand in the presence of God. Jesus. Jesus.
There is strength within sorrow.
Jesus.
There is beauty.